And now, Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez.
Well, thank you very much, Tucson. I'm thrilled to be in Arizona with the thousands of loyal, hardworking American patriots.
President Donald Trump's Make America Great Again rally at the Tucson International Airport drew thousands of supporters. But does drawing large, enthusiastic crowds really predict a winning candidacy? Compared to President Trump's mass outdoor rallies, where very few wear masks, Biden's outdoor events are designed to attract small crowds so they can follow social distancing guidelines. And make no mistake about it, Biden supporters are also fired up.
When I say fired up, I want you to say ready for Joe. Fired up!
With 10 days to go before the November 3rd presidential election, Trump trails Biden in Arizona. According to the latest CBS News poll, Biden holds a 3 percentage point lead, 50-47, which is well within the poll's 4.1% margin of error. However, Democrats are also outpacing Republicans in early mail-in voting. Arizona, traditionally a sure bet for Republicans, is now a swing state up for grabs. Latinos are key to tilting the balance. Still, the question remains, will Latinos actually turn out on Election Day and vote? Let's talk facts and get the latest from the Aquí Se Vota campaign that aims to empower Latinos to let their voices be heard at the ballot box. Good morning and welcome to Tucson's Hispanic Voices. I'm Steve Nunez. My goal is to give voice to Latinos by bringing diversity into the conversation. We'll talk politics, music, food, art, and culture, and share those stories through the lens of how Hispanics see everyday life in Tucson. Today, we're going to circle back around and talk about the impact Latino Hispanic voters will have on the 2021 presidential election. In Arizona, there are 1.2 million Latino Hispanic registered voters. That's about 24% of all eligible voters, according to the Pew Research Center. The Latino vote could make all the difference in the outcome of who wins a presidential race right here in Arizona. My guest today is Melissa Armas. She's a project manager for Aquí Se Vota, a statewide campaign to register eligible Latino Hispanic voters and get them to actually vote.
Melissa, welcome to Tucson's Hispanic Voices.
Nice to be here, Steve. Thank you for having us.
Give us an update on Aquí Se Vota and the success you had on recruiting coaches and registering Latinos Hispanics to vote.
Of course. Thank you so much for the question. So we have an amazing team of coaches. We've had almost 1,000 direct contacts that we've created over the past 2 months. And in social media, we're having incredible engagement numbers. We've reached over 400,000 people in our Facebook and Instagram platforms, and we've had direct engagement with over 40,000 people through those platforms as well.
Now, your goal is to get 10,000 votes in Arizona, correct?
Correct.
Do you think you'll reach that goal, to get 10,000 people to vote? And I should say Latinos, Hispanics to vote.
Exactly. So through our the efforts of our coaches, we've reached out to almost 1,000 people, and the hope is that each one of them gets 10, each of them. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But what we find with the Hispanic population is that it's been challenging to get the sign-up. We've been having a lot of conversations, but them sharing their personal information has been an extra step that we've been able to help them get registered. We've been able to help a lot of people to get engaged and know how to do things. It's just that we weren't able to get 10,000 registrations on our website.
During the 2016 presidential election, most voters thought Hillary Clinton was going to win. The poll said so. That didn't happen. What are the polls telling us right now about the actual turnout for Latino voters? Should we trust the polls?
I want to say let's never be complacent. Let's never trust the polls. Every single vote counts, and every single vote needs to be counted. So regardless of what the polls are saying right now, whether they're aiming for one or the other candidate, the candidate that you like, you still need to get your vote out there and get your family involved in that amazing luxury that we have, that is voting in a democracy.
So the moral of the story is, don't listen to the polls, just get out there and vote.
Exactly. Just turn off the news and just go and vote. Don't count on others voting for you. That doesn't work.
President Trump has closed the gap on Biden's lead in Arizona. According to the latest CBS News poll, Biden leads 50-47%, but the margin of error is within the 4.1% margin of error. Is it safe to assume it's a virtual tie, especially in conservative Arizona?
For us, yes, that is a statistical tie in Arizona. But what we're trying to get is everybody to vote. So we're not focusing on who is ahead or who is behind. We just really want everybody to exercise the right to vote.
How important is it for Latinos to vote? Let's make that case right now. That way, Latinos, Hispanics really understand the power of the vote and the power of being heard.
Absolutely. It is important because we're not just talking about the president race. Right? So we're talking about so many different things. We will choose what our elected officials do with the money that we pay for our taxes every year, and even the city and the state sales taxes. All that money that we pay every year is decided by the people that we choose on the ballot. So whether it's the president, whether it's the local state legislature, the city council, the people who decide what our kids are going to have for lunch, we choose all those people. And it's in our hands to give that power to decide where the money is going to the right people who is going to advocate for the Hispanic community.
When filling out the ballot, there are a lot of races that just don't get publicity, like Superior Court judges. Do you have to fill all of that out when you vote?
No, you don't. So if you don't have all the information, you can seek it out. If you don't feel like voting for the judges, you don't have to. How the ballots are tabulated, how they're counted, is by a machine that has an optical reader. And they just count where the little bubble is filled. If you don't fill a few races, it doesn't matter.
When it comes to Aquí Se Vota and getting the word out, you mentioned earlier that it's been difficult to try and get Latinos, Hispanics to not only register, but to participate. Why do you think that is? Is it because of all the negative messaging that's going on right now?
That is in part one of the problems. There's a lot of negativity out there with the election. It shouldn't be that way. But we also find that with our communities, they feel, and it is really a perception and a feeling, they feel like organizations reach out to them every 4 years, or maybe every 2 years if we count the midterm elections. So what happens is that we haven't really instilled a culture of participating in politics. Politics is a dirty word for our community. And we've been trying to eradicate that. You know, it's not a dirty word. It's something that needs to be talked about. And it's something that is positive, and it's something that is influential in our lives. And I think we've broken that barrier, just starting to break that barrier this past couple months. And it is something that we need to continue to do. And we need the support of our local media and our local organizations to continue the conversation and not do it just every election year.
When it comes to Latinos, Hispanics voting, is it safe to assume that all Latinos, Hispanics vote Democrat? Because people forget how diverse we are, and they always assume, you know, chalk it up as a Democrat vote or a vote for a Democrat. But that's not the case, is it?
It is not the case. It is very sad that they assume that the Latino vote is one block at all. We are different, so we have different generations. We all come from different places. We all have different experiences with governments and politics. So, yeah, we cannot assume that the Latino vote is a Democratic vote, or Latino vote in Arizona is a Republican vote.
When reaching out to Latinos, Hispanics here in Tucson, are you finding the majority of new participants are Spanish speakers, bilinguals, or English-speaking Hispanics?
Tucson has a very interesting mix because, well, there's a big university there, so there's a lot of young people. We have a lot of younger generations who are bilingual as well. But then we've seen the suburb coming out as well. So people who are maybe retired or closer to retirement are getting very involved. They are driven by different issues, but I see that all along in all the different generations and different markets that the people are really very excited about voting this year.
Here's a fact to consider. Since the 2016 elections, approximately 3.6 million Latinos will have turned 18 in time to vote this November. Young Latinos could swing the outcome of the election if they turn out to vote. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Melissa Armas with Aquí Se Vota and ask her if racial inequality is playing a role in getting young Latinos to vote. In support of Tucson's Hispanic Voices, please make sure to support our sponsors, MPG Tire and Auto, going the extra mile for you and your vehicle. Nova Home Loans, the best combination of rates, fees, and services since 1980. The Law Office of Natalie H. Haywood. She's more than just a criminal defense attorney, she's an advocate for human rights. And theme music, composed by local guitarist Gabriel Francisco Romo.
You're listening to Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez. We'll be right back. And now, Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez.
Welcome back to Tucson's Hispanic Voices. I'm Steve Nunez. A record 32 million Latinos Hispanics are projected to be eligible to vote in the November 3rd presidential election. That's up from 27.3 million in 2016, according to the Pew Research Center. Two in three of those voters live in just five states, including right here in Arizona. Let's continue our conversation with Melissa Armas. She's a project manager for Aquí Se Vota, a campaign to register Latino Hispanic voters and get them to actually vote.
In Arizona, we've seen a lot of Trump, Don Jr., Ivanka, and Vice President Pence. We haven't seen a lot of Biden or Harris. When it comes to the Latino community, who shows up oftentimes wins them over. Explain to me if that's the case, and if not, why?
So I think the parties, they also have their groundwork, and the local candidates do the campaign, and they include the president ticket in the round. So when you see from both sides, candidates and their volunteers going out and talk to people, they include the top ticket as part of their messaging and in their literature that they send and mail and give to people when they knock on doors.
But the presence of a candidate being more visible throughout the state, does that play a role in creating an excitement for people to want to register to vote and actually vote?
I am not sure that it does. It really depends on the personal choice. Some people will get excited. Some people know already who they're voting for. It really has to do with the ground level of engagement that is already existing from local races. So you can see that actually local races have been going out there and exciting people and talking to people and having those one-on-one conversations with people about what they're voting about and why it's important to go out and vote.
How do you think the candidates are doing with engaging young Latinos?
Part of the pandemic world that we're living in has brought every single race out there, regardless of the party, to go online and do things online to engage everybody. So I believe that every candidate out there has currently a huge part of their budget going towards ads and hiring people that knows how to deal with messaging and data and how to engage young Latinos in different platforms.
Is racial inequality and standing with Black Lives Matter an election priority for young Latinos and getting them to actually vote?
We see that as a factor this year, yes. So we see young Latinos more engaging to human rights and civil rights, and the Black Lives Matter movement definitely ignited that yearning for change and to get involved and to do things differently in young Latinos.
We obviously saw a lot of protests over the summer, and we saw a lot of Latinos joining side by side with Black Lives Matter and protesting against racial inequality. Do you think that momentum is still alive right now with just 10 days to go before the election?
I believe it is. I think a lot of races actually have been trying to keep that momentum going because it's taking the next step. It's going from protests to the polls. So you can protest all you want, but at the end of the day, if you don't vote, then your voice is not really being heard.
What are you hearing out on the streets as you're trying to register, as you're trying to get Latinos, especially young Latinos, to vote? What are you hearing from them as far as turning that protest on the street into an actual vote? Do you have faith that the protests will end up sparking and igniting a new wave of young Latino voters?
I really hope so. We're getting a lot of people that actually want to create change, so are more into voting this time around than in 2016. 2016, the young vote wasn't all out as we wanted to. But I do see that there's, I think it's going to be a shift in the Latino young voter this year.
According to Politico, in Arizona, Trump has made gains with young Latino men, receiving 42%. By comparison, Biden leads Trump with young Latinas, 69 to 16%, older Latinas, 67 to 25%, and older men, 64 to 34%. A total of 64% of Latinos in Arizona, though, disapprove of Trump. How accurate do you see this analysis?
I don't have data on that because when we talk to people, we don't talk about candidates. So we're not really gauging who they're voting for. We're just making sure that they go out and vote. So we don't have those conversations about candidates since we are 501c3. We are just empowering people to make sure that whatever they think is heard.
Why do you think so many people think just because it's aquí se vota that your push is to go and just register every Spanish-speaking person, whether they're here legally or illegally? There's that perception, especially in Arizona. How do you overcome that?
So there are very strict rules about who can vote and who cannot vote. In our campaign, we actually have Facebook Live shows, and we also have events where we clarify all those questions. We have a segment that's called La Neta, which is the truth, and we talk about all these myths that need debunking, and that is one of those. So only citizens of the United States can vote. But that doesn't mean that if you're not a citizen, if you have a DACA status, you cannot get involved in the civic duty that is getting the vote out. So anybody can help talk to others about the importance of voting, even if they can't vote.
Does that happen a lot?
That we hear that people who shouldn't vote are voting?
I want to debunk that. You know, you hear so much about, oh, these organizations are trying to register Latinos to vote only because they want the illegals to come in and vote. And I want you to debunk that because I'm tired of hearing that.
That's impossible. So how do you register to vote? You have to register to vote with your information from the DMV, the Motor Vehicle Department, right? So you must have a state-issued driver's license with your signature, and that is under your Social Security number. So how it works is you go register, you provide your information. You can do it online, or you can do it with a letter, but you need to provide your signature, the same signature that you have on your driver's license. And that is how you register to vote. You need to be a citizen with a Social Security number and a state ID or a driver's license. There's no other way. And if you want to debunk that, let's debunk the next thing. Well, mailing ballots don't count, or people can vote twice. Well, when they check our votes, the ballots arrive, they will use an optical reader to see not just your vote, but also to verify your signature. And if your signature is not the same signature that you have on your driver's license, that ballot is going to be taken to the site and it will be reviewed just to verify that your signature is your signature.
And once again, in mailing in your ballot, you can track your vote, right?
Absolutely, yes. So depending on the county that you live, you can just go to arizona.vote. And then there you can actually access all the different counties and how they work. But you can track your vote. Like if you live in Maricopa County, there is a system to text them, and they will text you when they receive it, when they open it, when they verify your signature, and then when they count your vote.
So you can also do that in Pima County, because I know at the recorder's office, when you log on to the website, you can actually track your vote. And I've been trying to get this message across to so many people to say, wait a second. In Pima County, there hasn't been any cases of widespread fraud. In fact, you can track your vote to make sure it's counted, and that's a way to kind of keep the system honest so that there's no accusations that your, you know, ballots are found in the Santa Cruz River or anything like that. Correct?
That's very true. And one more thing, people now think that we just invented voting by mail. Arizona has been voting by mail since the 90s.
Since 1992.
Just imagine. So we've been doing it for such a long time. And not just that, the military, they vote by mail since the Civil War. So it is not something that is new. It is not something that is weird or fraudulent. It's something that we've been doing for many years. Another thing, if I may, there's another myth that we debunk too. People have a little confusion between voting by mail and absentee ballots. So there's some messaging out there that says that absentee ballots are good, voting by mail is bad. And in Arizona specifically, it's exactly the same ballot inside. What's different is that if you're going to be somewhere else on election day, that's not your primary residence, you request an absentee ballot, and it is sent to you. So if you're in the hospital, or if you're attending a university somewhere else, or if you're in the military, you vote by absentee ballot. If you're within Arizona and you just want your ballot to be sent to you, to your home, that is voting by mail. But it's exactly the same ballot inside.
Historically, Latinos have embraced in-person voting, but do early indications show if Latinos in Arizona are voting by mail? The answer coming up.
You're listening to Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez. We'll be right back. And now, Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez.
Wow. Thank you, Tucson. Thank you, Tucson. Wow.
President Donald Trump's Make America Great Again rally at the Tucson International Airport last Monday drew thousands of supporters. But does drawing large, enthusiastic crowds really predict a winning candidacy? Biden's outdoor events are designed to attract small crowds to follow social distancing guidelines. But make no mistake about it, Biden supporters are also fired up.
When I say fired up, I want you to say ready for Joe. Fired up!
With 10 days to go before the November 3rd presidential election, Trump trails Biden in Arizona by 3 percentage points, 50-47, according to the latest CBS News poll. But that's well within the poll's 4.1% margin of error. However, Democrats are also outpacing Republicans in early mail-in voting. And the key to winning Arizona is projected to come down to the Latino vote. Still, the question remains, will Latinos actually get out and cast their vote? Welcome back to Tucson's Hispanic Voices. I'm Steve Nunez. A record 32 million Latinos are projected to be eligible to vote in the November 3rd presidential election. Latinos are now the nation's largest share of non-white voters. 40% of Latino voters are young and between the ages of 18 to 35, according to census data. We continue our conversation with Melissa Armas. She's a project manager for Aquí Se Vota, a statewide campaign to register eligible Latino Hispanic voters and get them to actually vote.
When out on the streets, do you hear concern over mailing in your ballot?
Yes, we do. And it's really sad.
What do they say?
People are not trusting the mail right now. Some do. We have answers for all those things. Like, it's safe, it is okay. You can just take it to the mail. It's going to get there. How it works is if you mail in your ballot and it is stamped that it was received before the election day, it will still be counted. So it doesn't mean that if you're mailing it, it's not going to be counted. Every ballot will be counted. The other thing, too, is that we tell some people is, well, if you have your vote-by-mail ballot at home and you have it ready, but you don't want to take it to the Postal Service, what you can do is find from your counter recorder where they have drop boxes, because they issued those drop boxes. They have those at voting centers, but they also have some that are open 24/7 just outside their buildings, and you can just take them just like a drive-through. Just drive by and drop your ballot in that drop box.
That is a key point to hammer home, that if you don't trust mailing in your ballot, you can always just drop it off. You can drop it off now, today, or you can drop it off on Tuesday, November the 3rd.
Correct. And if you're planning to dropping it off at an election center or a voting center, what you can do is when you go to the location, you don't have to stand in line. You just tell them by the door, hey, I have this, where do I go? And they will guide you towards the drop box.
And just a little tidbit fact, 49% of Latino voters say they would vote by mail. 51% said they would vote in person. You have to think that all of that has probably changed with the pandemic. So it's really, really important that Latinos, Hispanics understand that if you don't trust the Postal Service, then drop it off.
And the sooner, the better.
Correct. To make sure it gets in and counted as soon as possible. Because votes are already being counted right now that are being dropped off, correct?
Yes, actually, they start counting the votes yesterday.
In your opinion, what more needs to be done to eliminate voter suppression, especially among Latinos, Hispanics?
So I think we can learn from other states. For instance, in Colorado, once you are registered to vote, the vote by mail ballot is automatically sent to you. So nobody stands in line in Colorado. There's no waiting to vote in person. Everybody gets their ballot at home, and they just have stations where you drop it off. And that would be the best thing that we could do. But to do that, we need to choose the politicians who we actually enact and enable those changes for us.
If someone needs help answering any voting questions, how do they contact you? Or Aquí Se Vota?
So they can go to our platforms, Facebook and Instagram. They can go to aquisevota.com/ayuda. And they will be connected with one of our coaches.
What advice do you have to persuade Latinos to convince other Latinos, Hispanics to vote?
Voting is so important, and we have a democracy, and many of us left our countries because our systems did not do us right. And this is a luxury that we need to maintain for the coming generations. I think it is very important that we think about politics not as the idealistic thing that we don't want to talk about. Politics has to do with how we spend our tax dollars and where the money goes in our communities. So we all need to have our voice heard and decide where the money is spent for our cities and our state.
Once again, what's the vibe among Latinos? Are they excited to get out and vote this year?
We're hearing a lot of people who are, actually. We make a lot of phone calls and we're like, yeah, I'm ready. Yes. So the ones who actually want to do it, they're really, really excited. And we see a last-minute surge right now with people with a lot of questions because they left it to the last minute, and now they need to know how to do it and when to do it and where to do it. So we're answering a lot of questions, too.
You are having a big event today to educate Latinos, Hispanics about the importance of voting. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, so today we are having a great event. It's going to be in Phoenix, and what we want to do is help people take their ballots to the polls. It's going to be a desfile, like a big car caravan, where everybody's going to be keeping their distance. We're going to have Banda Norteña. It's going to be the Los de Obregón are going to be playing with us, DJ Cervantes. And it's going to be a lot of fun from 4 to 6. So we'll be starting to getting together around 3:30, and that's going to be in Phoenix at Sun Canyon Elementary School.
Do you have any plans to do a similar event here in Tucson?
We don't have one right now. We're looking for support to do other events there.
What kind of support do you need?
Just other organizations that can help us put something together. So right now, for instance, in Phoenix, we are working with Mi Familia Vota, and we're also working with the Election Protection AZ organization. And this is a great organization. They're going to be out there in all the early centers and on November 3rd as well, making sure that people can vote. and are not turned around.
Well, let's hope if there are any organizations out there that are listening right now, please help Aqui Se Vota conduct similar events right here in Tucson to make sure everyone votes.
Absolutely. And just remember, the last day to vote early is October 30th. So you can go to all your designated early locations between now and October 30th, and you don't have to stand in line on November 3rd. And the last day to request a vote-by-mail ballot is actually Friday. So everybody has until Friday at 5 o'clock to request a vote-by-mail ballot.
And after October 30th, then you must drop off your ballot on the day of the election, Tuesday, November 3rd, or you can vote in person on that day. Melissa Armas, Project Manager for Aqui Se Vota, thank you for being my guest on Tucson's Hispanic Voices, and thank you for your important work in giving Latinos, Hispanics a voice in our future by registering them to vote and then getting them to actually vote. So thank you for all of your hard work.
Thank you so much, Steve.
When we come back, we'll switch gears and talk to Dr. Nicole Barraza. She'll state her case on why you should vote yes on Prop 481, which gives Pima Community College more spending authority. In support of Tucson's Hispanic Voices, please make sure to support our sponsors, MPG Tire and Auto, going the extra mile for you and your vehicle. Nova Home Loans, the best combination of rates, fees, and services since 1980. The Law Office of Natalie H. Haywood. She's more than just a criminal defense attorney. She's an advocate for human rights. And theme music, composed by local guitarist Gabriel Francisco Romo.
You're listening to Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez. We'll be right back. And now, Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez.
Welcome back to Tucson's Hispanic Voices. I'm Steve Nunez. Let's talk Prop 481 on the November 3rd ballot. Prop 481 is a proposed spending limitation override vote that asks voters to allow Pima Community College to spend millions of dollars beyond their constitutional spending limitation. That spending, though, means new learning facilities to benefit students. My next guest is Dr. Nicole Barraza. She earned her master's and doctorate from Stanford University in sociolinguistics and peninsular literature. She also taught Spanish at Pima Community College and is a campaign team member for Yes on Prop 481.
Dr. Nicole Barraza, welcome to Tucson's Hispanic Voices.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Steve.
Okay, make your case. Explain why we should all vote yes on Prop 481 and how a yes vote would benefit Pima Community College students.
Well, first of all, I want to emphasize that Prop 481 is not a tax increase. Prop 481 seeks to permanently adjust Pima Community College's expenditure limitation. So that means more money for students and more money for the services that help students succeed without raising taxes. Specifically, it will help the college expand and enhance programs that it already offers. For example, the adjustment 481 seeks would allow Pima Community College to double the number of students that graduate each year in aviation and healthcare services programs like nursing, which currently have long waiting lists because they have such a high demand. The college would also be able to modernize and update the instructional equipment it uses in these programs.
Explain how the current spending limit hold on Pima Community College is the lowest per pupil spending of any community college in the state. Obviously not a surprise when it comes to Maricopa County, right?
Well, the expenditure limitation law was a statute that passed in 1979, and it limits how much Pima Community College can spend on educational operations and student services, and only voters in Pima County can change that. As we all know, it costs more to educate now than it did 40 years ago. The adjustment proposes to give the college the flexibility to spend its money efficiently and effectively, And it's important to point out that while PCC has the third lowest tuition rate of all community colleges in Arizona, it is restricted to spending the lowest amount per student than all the other community colleges in the state because of this outdated statute that has not been revised for 40 years. So Prop 481 is an opportunity to correct this funding slide and give our college the same flexibility and investment as everywhere else in the state, up to $3,000 more per student without raising taxes.
Critics of Prop 481 complain that there may not be any oversight. Will there be oversight of how this money is spent?
Of course. As you know, the Pima Community College Governing Board was the group that referred it to the ballot, and they will have oversight of how this money is spent. And, the current leadership of the college between the board and its visionary chancellor are very transparent. So I would say that's not going to be a problem.
Also, critics have complained that it's frustrating. There's a lot of information on Prop 481 to benefit students, but there's just not a whole lot of information out there to show how it benefits students. Again, can you give us an overcap of how students will benefit from a yes vote for Prop 481?
Of course. Well, first of all, I would say that every voter received a voter information pamphlet in the mail, and it had 28 letters in support of the proposition. No letters were submitted in opposition. And, if you look at the supporters, we have everyone from current City of Tucson Mayor Regina Romero, Adelita Grijalva, Lidia Aranda, and David Adame from Chicanos por la Causa, former Tucson Mayor Jonathan Rothschild, Tucson City Council members Paul Cunningham, Nikki Lee, Richard Fimbres, Steve Kosacek, Mayor Ed Honey, Laura Dent from TISPA, Pima County Board of Supervisors, Sharon Bronson, Steve Christie. I mean, we have a wide range of political and community leaders that all know the positive impact this would have on, the whole community. But more specifically, this would increase student access to child care centers for students that have children. It would expand apprenticeship and internship opportunities. It would provide mobile computing devices for those unable to afford them, tuition assistance, more scholarships, increased student support services like tutoring and career counseling and advising, which is going to be critical moving forward after the pandemic. It would expand workforce training programs for displaced workers. I mean, you name it. This is very student-centered. Students are at the heart of what this proposition wants to do, and we would all benefit.
And, of course, how vital is Prop 481 to Pima County's economy?
Well,
I think that's why you see so much widespread support for it, because it has a huge impact on our economy, especially with all those programs you're talking about. When students are educated, when students have higher skills, the workforce and the businesses, if you have the workforce, the businesses will come. And that's where our economy benefits from all of this, correct?
Exactly. Most of us know firsthand that Pima Community College is critical to the economic vitality of Southern Arizona because either we started our training there or we know someone who did. The fact is that Pima has touched the lives of countless people in our community. And in order to have a highly trained, highly skilled workforce, we need to train and reskill our students.
As far as the ethnicity makeup of the students at Pima Community College, what percentage are Latinos? Do you know?
Well, I don't have that number, but as a former instructor, I taught for some years at Pima, and I would say the majority are Hispanics, Latinos, And so I think this is going to be it's very important for the Latino community that Prop 481 passes because the makeup of the college is heavily Latino.
Will Prop 481 money ever be used to pay higher salaries? And how do you respond to those who are muddying the waters, so to speak, to make it seem like allowing the college to make decisions on money matters where there's millions of dollars that should be spent on students, that it'll go towards salaries?
Well, the fact is that for now the plan is everything that I have detailed. It's student-centered. It's about expanding and enhancing the programs. It's about being able to provide students with the necessary technology, especially moving forward. So I think, you know, this will only benefit the students and our community as a whole if it passes. So I would tell the detractors to read the pamphlet, the voter information pamphlet, and really get to know what this prop is about.
And once again, we should mention that yes on 481, because when you look at the ballot, it can be very confusing on how to vote, especially on propositions, yes versus no. Some of the language can be very, very confusing. Don't you agree?
Well, especially for Prop 481, I have already voted, so I would tell all your listeners it's going to be on the back of your ballot all the way to the bottom. And unlike other initiatives this year, it's not a clear yes or no. You have to read what it says right before you fill in the circle. So
correct.
It would be yes to increase the base expenditure limitation. So read it carefully and vote yes.
And that's just the bottom line. Vote yes on 481.
Well, no, I would also say spread the word. Tell everyone you know, family, friends, colleagues. Explain that 481 is not a tax increase. It's for students and student services. I would tell them to look at the bottom of the ballot and vote yes.
A yes vote on 481 because?
Because it's the way to move our community forward. It's, you know, it's at the heart of students. It's for student success, and it will benefit us all.
And the growth of Pima Community College is really important for not just the students, but the entire community.
Exactly. It's our community college, and we all have to, you know, strengthen it and make it better for the years to come. I think we have a very visionary chancellor who's looking to the future. Right now with the pandemic, the college was able to pivot and offer everything online because it had been preparing for years. So in order to be successful, the chancellor and the governing board are looking at ways in which to make the college stronger for the future.
Dr. Nicole Barraza, thank you for being my guest on Tucson's Hispanic Voices. I'll have you on again to further discuss the importance of voting yes on Prop 481 and what it means to students and the future of their education. That's a deal.
Thank you very much, Steve. I look forward to it.
Here's why it's so important to vote. The 2020 presidential election will be the first where Latinos are the largest minority group of eligible voters. Pew Research Institute projects Latinos will represent 13.3% of all eligible voters, surpassing Black voters, who will make up 13%. The percentage of Latino voters has grown significantly since 2000, when they represented just 7% of all voters. With 10 days to go before the November 3rd presidential election, Trump trails Biden in Arizona. According to the latest CBS News poll, Biden holds a 3 percentage point lead, 50-47, which is well within the poll's 4.1% margin of error. However, Democrats are also outpacing Republicans in early mail-in voting. Arizona, traditionally a sure bet for Republicans, is now a swing state up for grabs. Latinos are key to tilting the balance. Still, the question remains, will Latinos actually turn out on Election Day and vote? Vote Democrat, vote Republican, just vote. Together, we have to make sure as Latinos, Hispanics, we are active participants in making sure our voices are heard at the ballot box. In closing, I want to mention the Pima County Recorder's Office has a way for you to track your mail-in ballot. You can also get a behind-the-scenes look at the process in collecting ballots, verifying signatures, and counting mail-in ballots. Just go to the website, www.recorder.pima.gov.
Then they check the actual signature.
There's a video right there on the homepage that'll show you the process.
With the signature that is on the voter registration on the voter's record to see that the signature matches the voter's ballot.
If those who don't feel comfortable mailing in a ballot can always drop it off at a polling site or drop off location, including on November 3rd, Election Day. You should also know, before every election, the Elections Department and Arizona Secretary of State conduct accuracy testing on machines for counting ballots. The public is always invited to attend and witness the results with their very own eyes. Again, what matters most is that you vote. In support of Tucson's Hispanic Voices, please make sure to support our sponsors, MPG Tire and Auto, going the extra mile for you and your vehicle. Nova Home Loans, the best combination of rates, fees, and services since 1980. The Law Office of Natalie H. Haywood. She's more than just a criminal defense attorney, she's an advocate for human rights. And theme music, composed by local guitarist Gabriel Francisco Romo. Tune in to Tucson's Hispanic Voices every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 right here on KBOI 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Nunez. See you on the radio next week.